Hello and welcome to the Matt's Movie Reviews Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Pickwich, and this is episode number 175. A film set to do the rounds at film festivals everywhere is The Pistol, a sci-fi drama that tells the story of a suicidal businessman and his interaction with an interdimensional being who proclaims herself to be Death. Delving into heavy yet worldly themes such as life and death, good and evil, and everything in between, The Pistol is a fascinating and unique film experience that will leave many pondering and debating its many subject points afterwards. Joining me to talk about The Pistol is the film's writer and director, Andrew DeBerg. Andrew, I thank you very much for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So this is a really interesting film. On one end, it seems really simple. You've got two actors appearing in three acts. But then on the other hand, it deals with some really complex issues in regards to its themes. What I'm really curious about is the film's origins, that spark that gave, that thing that gave the initial idea to give life to this project. Where did it all begin?
There are a couple of origins. I've always been fascinated by Greek philosophers like Socrates and Plato, and having read all their books, a lot of them are discussions about the world and about humanity and about good and evil. So I definitely channeled a lot of that into The Pistol when I was writing it. And also when I saw three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri, there's a lot of philosophical dialogue in that. So I kind of was inspired when I saw that film to just start to write to The Pistol. And the good thing about having just two actors and it all being dialogue is that you can literally talk about anything. Like your imagination can be, you can really exercise your imagination. And there's no topic that you can't discuss because there's no action that's prohibiting you from what you're discussing.
Three Billboards is an interesting movie. That was directed by Martin McDonagh. I love the films of his brother, John Michael McDonagh. I don't know if you've ever seen the film Calvary with Brendan Gleeson. I think it's just a fantastic movie. Their films are really interesting because they do delve into like these topic points. Are those the type of films that you are into as a filmmaker? The films that really not only have like good filmmaking craft, of course, but their stories delve into these kind of different themes about philosophy and religion. Are they the films that you always kind of you're always drawn to?
Yeah, I think I am. That's one of the reasons I think Christopher Nolan's my favorite filmmaker, because his films are incredibly detailed and there's a lot of philosophical insight into them. And The Lord of the Rings also, I think, is phenomenal because that deals with a lot of topics, you know, good and evil and friendship and love and empathy. And yeah, I think I like movies. Even The Wailing, I think, is a great horror film because it has a lot of philosophical and religious undertones, which I think elevate it beyond just a good horror film, you know. So yeah, I definitely think I like films with things to say about the world. And
when it comes to those themes and the opinions of the characters in your film, how much of that is you yourself working out your own feelings about these matters?
It's a bit of both. I think I agree with some of the things my character says, but a lot of it is just trying to write a three-dimensional character that lives in this world. So yeah, I use a lot of my own ideas, but a lot of it is fictional. But yeah, there's definitely a level that's grounded in reality.
When it comes to the interest in these themes, you talked about filmmakers and how different filmmakers approach this kind of stuff. What about you as like from a personal background? Is this coming from, you talked about Socrates and Greek mythology. Do you also have kind of like any type of interest in theology as well and kind of things like that in regards to, I mean, we're talking about one of the characters, this Death, be personified here. Is a religious kind of connotation there as well in regards to yourself personally?
Not really. I wouldn't call myself a religious person. I'm very open. I have a lot of different ideas about religion and the world and the origins, and I go back and forth through things. I'm always thinking about things. I think it's reflected in my writing. I'm always thinking about something, or I go through different theories and then I say, okay, maybe this is true, and then this counteracts the argument. So I think I'm one of those people that hasn't got an opinion on many. I don't know. I guess I haven't really got an opinion on religion, but I go through different ideas depending on the phase of my life, I think.
Casting is really key to this movie. You've got the two actors portraying these two characters. So let's first talk about the character of Stephen Karius, who's the suicidal businessman who kind of opens the film. He's portrayed by Sam Britton. What can you tell me about Sam? How did you find him, and how did you know that he was right for this role?
Sam was actually one of the actors who submitted to my ad on Actors Access, which is a site that you can find actors from. And I sent a lot of these guys the two-page monologue to do for the audition, the first video. And when Sam sent me the video, he really was the character. I mean, everything I'd imagined. He's a very intelligent person in real life, so I think he truly understands a lot of the topics the film delves into. So I think from that video alone, I knew he was the guy. But I still called him in for a callback. And then his chemistry with Shamita Bhattacharya was incredible. And then that was when I knew that these two were the people I needed to cast.
Speaking of Shamita Bhattacharya, she plays the role of death. Now, usually portrayals of death is very much in that traditional kind of Grim Reaper kind of vein. You've got the robes, you've got the scythe. Shamita, of course, is an incredibly beautiful woman, exactly opposite to what that character is usually portrayed as. Why did you make the decision to portray death in that way? What was the influence there?
I think it was just wanting to tip the stereotype on its head. Like you said, the death in many films has been like this Grim Reaper sort of twisted version of reality, and I wanted to create something that would just wipe the slate clean. She is death, but at the same time, it's just a sort of a symbol of who she is. She's a lot more than death in the film.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was just something about, I wanted to do something different, I think, was the foundation of why I did that.
Yeah. To me, it was really interesting as well in that usually the presentation of death is kind of like this ugliness kind of personified, where Shamita is definitely like that. And I do really do think that sometimes the portrayal of beauty can be much more stunning and even intimidating at times than the portrayal of something that's ugly or decrepit. Do you think that's the case as well in regards to this part?
Yeah, I think there's something otherworldly about how she looks in the film. My makeup artist, Pretty D, I worked with her quite a lot in advance to the shoot to really get these different looks for Shamita. And the way she made her look was incredible, and it really fits in with the story and the different time periods in the film she looks different in. So I think there was a lot of scope with that role, and my makeup artist did a phenomenal job with getting my vision. And even through Sam, with the different acts that he's in, he really looks different, and you get a sense of how he's transformed both mentally and physically throughout the film.
Something I was really curious about after watching the movie, this is a film that's very much dialogue driven, and you have a lot of dialogue, talking about a lot of heavy themes. When it comes to pre-production for this movie, did you have a lot of rehearsal time for Stephen and Sam to get to know each other, to go through these monologues and these different dialogue streams? Or was it something, because this is in production, you guys just go straight into the deep end and get to it?
A bit of both. We definitely did rehearsals. I worked with them quite a lot with my vision. I went through every single line in the script, and I told them what was the inspiration behind that, and I really kind of explained to them what I wanted from them. And when it came to shooting, they had such great chemistry. They worked really well together. So it was kind of we did definitely do rehearsals, but they really carried it. You know, they did a phenomenal job in the film, and I'm very grateful.
The Bestower is a theme that does talk about a lot of things. It's definitely a theme, a film that I feel has its targets as well. It speaks about greed, it speaks about catalysm, it talks about the environment, what we've done to the environment. The really curious thing to me is when it starts talking about technology, and often it does so when kind of like in a critical vein. I'm just curious, Andrew, what's wrong with technology? Here we are talking on Skype, you make a film with technological advances in filmmaking. You got the internet, you got these sort of things. Where does the technology in your mind has gone wrong to the point of, you know, maybe perhaps there's no return for us as a human species?
I think that was another thing that I wanted to make dramatic in the film. Looking back, I think I was what the film says about technology isn't exactly how I feel. I just wanted to create like a narrative focus that the characters would have to overcome. But as for me personally, I think social media has gone a little too far. I think sites like Instagram and Facebook have really encouraged narcissism and insecurity, because now everybody is someone that you can compare yourself to. And I don't think there's anything wrong with these sites per se. I think it's the way people abuse them. Even when I go outside now, I see everyone's kind of looking down at their phone. And I don't think phones are bad. I think it's the way people abuse them that's bad. And I think we just need to exercise a bit of restraint with our use of technology as well. But yeah, I think that's kind of how I feel.
I find it very interesting as well in regards to social media, the addictive qualities in regards to what I remember was... I don't remember if I read this or I saw a short video about it talking about how it is almost comparable to taking a drug. And every time you get a hit or a mention or a Facebook like, it's like a dopamine hit. It just does something to your body and to your brain. I think that's kind of scary in its own right, isn't it?
Absolutely. I completely agree. I think nowadays we put stuff on Facebook or Instagram because we want likes from people. And then when we don't get those likes, that's going to have a psychological impact on your brain. And I think that's where the danger lies, when you sort of, you use it for verification. I think that breeds insecurity as well.
For myself, there are some films that I've come across in my life that I can pinpoint as being almost life-changing in regards to my relationship with cinema. Then they all have done so in different ways. I've read in regards to this film, you were inspired by both Interstellar and 2001, Space Odyssey. How did those two films influence you? I mean, do you even remember the first time you've seen these movies and that impact it had on you as a filmmaker and as a person?
Yeah, absolutely. Those films are definitely two of my all-time favourites. I've always been a big Christopher Nolan fan ever since I saw Batman Begins, and then I went back and looked at his earlier works like Following and Insomnia. And I think he's truly a phenomenal talent. And I remember seeing Interstellar in the theater and just being blown away. I didn't know what to expect, but the level of detail and depth that he went through in the film is truly extraordinary. And every time I revisit that film, there's little things that I can gather that I gain new knowledge from. And and even the score and the way it was shot, I tried to incorporate a lot of that into the pistol. Obviously, didn't have a budget, but
Of course. I mean, I remember the first time I saw Interstellar was actually at an IMAX screening. It was like a media preview. They did it at IMAX. We used to have one of the biggest IMAX theaters here down in Sydney. And of course, I was expecting to be blown away by the visuals. Christopher Nolan is a terrific visual director. What really surprised me about that film is that I think it still stands as Christopher Nolan's most emotional film. There are things going on in that movie beyond the realms of all the space travel and all the talk about astronomy and all that kind of stuff. There's like something really, really deep down. Is that something that really impressed you as well in regards to that movie?
There's a lot of people that, for me, Christopher Nolan, a lot of his films are very emotional, but I agree with Interstellar. Like what he did with Matthew McConaughey's character and his daughter was truly extraordinary, how their relationship of love transcends so many different dimensions and time periods. And I think that's something that the film is ultimately about, love. Like you said, you have all this scientific stuff, but at the end of the day, the film's about a man's love for his daughter and what that can do to save the world. And I think that's something I tried to incorporate in The Bestowal as well.
Andrew, I talk to a lot of indie filmmakers, and I have a lot of indie filmmakers listen to my podcast. And the thing I always find in regards to filmmaking is that it's one thing to make your film, it's another thing to get your film out there, the whole distribution part of it. In regards to this movie, you and I were exchanging emails earlier in the week in regards to the plan for the film. You're talking about how you're going to get it out there, film festivals, hopefully next year. I'm just curious, the path to try to get distribution, try to get your film out there, what's that experience been like for you in this regards of being a filmmaker, the person who wrote it, who directed it, and is very much the vocal leader of the film and trying to get it out there into the marketplace?
It's a very difficult thing, actually, distribution. I was very lucky with my first short film, Just One Drink. Shorts TV, which is, I think, the biggest company, the short film distributor in the world, they bought the rights to it for 3 years. So that really gave me quite a bit of prestige as a filmmaker. And it really helped quite a bit. The other two shorts I did, they weren't distributed. They did very well. But as for the film and promotion, independent filmmaking is very difficult. There's definitely some pros to it, as opposed to having a studio behind you where you can really do things that haven't been done before. You're not limited by, you know, studios and, you know, a lot of people with a lot of money saying, do it this way, do it that way. So I think there's pros and cons to independent filmmaking, but it's definitely very hard, the festival circuit and also the distribution phase. But with The Pistol, it was just a film that I really wanted to make, and I'm just going to see how it goes and do everything I can to promote it. So, yeah.
When it comes to The Pistol, getting those entries into film festivals or any type of release dates, what's a way that people can follow the movie, follow you, and know about the latest kind of updates in regards to the film's journey?
We have an active Facebook page called The Pistol Movie, so please definitely like that and stay in touch with us. I've also got a filmmaker fan page on Facebook that I'll post stuff on as well. So yeah, we're just kind of rolling it with and seeing what happens with it. With this kind of film, you don't really know how people are going to react to it. A lot of people, some of the reviews I've had have been very good, and a lot of feedback's been positive. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays in front of a live audience, because it's a very different kind of film. It's a very abstract film. I think some people are going to love it, some people are going to hate it. So yeah, we'll just see what happens with it.
Whether people love it or hate it, I can definitely guarantee that people are going to think about it and the themes afterwards. And I think that's really a strength of your movie. You know, I see a lot of films, sometimes you leave the movie, you don't think about it at all for a while. And it's really good to have some kind of meat to chew on in a movie. But that's what you've done with your film. So Andrew DeBerg, a filmmaker, writer, director of The Pistol, I thank you again for joining me today. And everyone out there, please go check out The Pistol Facebook page and also Andrew's filmmaker page on Facebook, and check out for the latest updates as well. And hopefully we should have this podcast up today and we can tell some more people about your movie. Congratulations to you, Andrew.
Thank you, Matthew. Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.